Good morning, everybody, and welcome to...
Good morning.
Good morning, teacher.
Good morning.
Keep it down.
Morning, teacher. No apple today. I only have one.
Okay. Donut will do.
Okay.
Where are we?
Welcome to the Sunday morning adult discussion class at Women's Christian Fellowship. Today, we're going to be in Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 7, and I think we did 7 and 8. Verse 7 and 8, but I think we actually read on a little further than that. There's much coming up.
Did you want to go back and say something about one of those verses? I thought that's what you said last week.
Yeah, well...
Okay.
Sorry, Kevin.
I was looking something up, but I can share it here quickly, if I can find it here.
First, let's pray. Mike?
Father, thank you for this opportunity to be here again today. And Father, just to learn about your word, that we may be able to just put it into use in our everyday life. And yes. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
What I think I said last week was this. We were talking about prayer, you know. And I believe that's what it was. And I said that, you know, that in Isaiah, God spoke through Isaiah prophetically, and he even told them this. And I will read it to you here.
You coming out of Isaiah?
Yeah, out of Isaiah, yeah. It's Isaiah 45. Okay, in Isaiah 45, he tells them that, let me find it. I'm having trouble finding it here. Let's see. He says, ask me concerning my sons.
What verse are you?
I'm trying to find the verse. I've got this new Bible, and I have a hard time finding things in it. Here, let me get it. I can get it quicker this way than me hunting around
it's
there.
It's just us here today.
Please.
It's just us here today.
Yeah.
No pressure.
What is this pact?
There's a lot there.
Isaiah 45, ask me concerning my sons. 45:11, verse 11. And thus saith the Lord, the Holy One of Israel, and his Maker. Now if it's the Holy One of Israel and his Maker, wouldn't that be the Father and the Son?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Listen to this. He said, thus saith the Lord, the Holy One of Israel and his Maker, ask ye me of things to come concerning my sons and concerning the work of my hands, command ye me. And we were talking about that God's even telling us to command him concerning these things, you know. And that's pretty strong. And he wants us to know. But if we were talking about seek, yes, and you shall find, ask, and It shall be, you know, ask, seek, and knock, you know. And you know, literally, even here back in Isaiah, he's telling you, he's saying, you know, well, let me read it again. He's saying, it says, thus saith the Lord, the Holy One of Israel and his Maker, ask ye me of things to come concerning my sons, and concerning the works of my hands, command you me. Wow. I mean, that is strong.
That's being very proactive, ain't it?
Oh, my goodness. He's telling us to seek fervently, to really go after it. You
right.
know what I mean? And a lot of times I think we have a tendency that we kind of, even the things that we want to know from the Lord, we just kind of go at it real
gentle, easy,
and, you know.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
And sometimes he wants us, this whole Isaiah 45 is just a wonderful scripture.
Oh, yeah. Can I read this one out of the Living Bible?
Yeah.
Sure.
What he just read?
Yeah.
It's 45:11. Jehovah, the Holy One of Israel,
uh-huh.
Israel's creator, says, What have you to question what I do? Who are you to command me concerning the work of my hands? That's where it stops. It goes on. This thing's packed.
Well, in the one that you're reading, he's asking the question, who are you? But over here it says,
it's
command me.
That.
So
he's telling you, he said, in this
you
one it
are.
Said, thus saith the Lord, the Holy One of Israel, and his Maker,
mm-hmm.
ask me of things concerning my sons. He's telling you to ask.
Yes. So
and
who
then,
are
and
you
then he's also
sons?
Saying, and command you me
mm-hmm.
about the works of my hands, basically is what he's saying. In other words, he's saying, seek after it, go after it.
Is that King James?
That's King James, yeah. Yep.
What's that other one that you've got, Claude? That other...
This one here was the Living Bible.
Yeah.
Our King James difference just a little. Thus saith the Lord, the Holy One of Israel and his Maker, ask me the things, this is all capital, ask me the things to come concerning my sons and concerning the work of my hands, command ye me.
Command me. Yeah.
Command me.
He's saying command me.
Oh, man.
He's telling you, in other words, what he's really saying is, step up in authority and ask me.
Right.
And when you step up in the authority of my spirit, I believe is what he's saying.
That's good.
He's saying, then I'll answer you, you know. And you know, a lot of times when we think about praying, we just think, well, oh God, okay, if it's your will, you know, and all this and that. And we should pray according to his will. But if God is inspiring you to pray for something, then you don't need to pray for it in the sense of that, well, maybe God will do it and maybe he won't.
You don't
you
need
know.
To come off begging.
No.
Begging's the human
right.
natural.
Right.
The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and when it does, the authority of God does, and then you pray a lot differently.
I'll give you an example of that, how the Lord used me one time. I've told you all the story about years ago when that brother came in and asked could he testify, and he went up in the front of the church and he got up behind the mic and he said that his next door neighbor, this young girl, you know, she apparently went crazy, you know, and said that they had put her in Longview. Longview used to be the state hospital out there on Paddock Road. And he said that they got her in there and they were checking her out, and they said, they basically from what he was saying, like there was just no hope for her. She was just totally gone, you know. And as he was saying that, the Holy Spirit was just stirring me. I couldn't hardly stand it. I was a pretty young Christian at that time, too. And it was just stirring me something awful. And I couldn't wait to get home and go to prayer. And I went in my bedroom, and I started praying for that girl. And as I started praying, the anointing of the Lord came upon me very, very strong. I mean, very strong. And I started rebuking that spirit off of her in the name of Jesus. And I mean, and I came out of the room after I was praying for a while, and I told Margaret, I said, man, if I know the voice of the Lord, I said, that girl's going to be okay.
Yeah.
You know, I said, I just know she's going to be okay. Well, that night, when I went to bed, I had ugliest, awfulest dream you could possibly have. And I woke up saying, devil, you're a liar.
Amen.
Devil, you're a liar.
Yeah.
You know, and I mean, I was just saying this as I was waking up. I could hear myself saying this, devil, you're a liar. You know, and it was almost like that spirit was trying to come into to my room because I had rebuked that thing in the name of Jesus, you know what I mean, earlier. And, you know, and I prayed and, you know, it went away. Well, I was expecting that guy to come back, and I thought the next week I really should have got up and testified, but I was still a young Christian and I'm very backward, and, you know, I thought I should have got up and probably testified that that girl was going to be okay, even though I didn't know that at that time. In the natural, so to speak. But it was about another week later, he came in back in. And you could tell when he come in, he was just busting at the seams, you know what I mean. And he said, I gotta testify. And they went up there and he testified, and this was on Sunday night. And he said, I don't know if any of y'all was there when that happened or not. You might not have been, you know, but he got up there and he says, I just want to tell you, he said, that young girl that I come in and ask you all to pray for, he said, she's okay and she's back home, you know. And that was a spirit that was on that girl, you know. And I rebuked it in the name of Jesus, but it wasn't me rebuking it, see. That's the difference. It was God inspiring me. And I mean, when I felt the anointing on that, I mean, it was like I had no doubt that girl was going to be set free. I mean, it wasn't like I was trying to conjure up something. This was the Holy Spirit moving upon me. And when I spoke with authority. And I believe that's sort of what he's saying here. You know, command you me of things to come, you know, and I'll tell you if it's, you know what I mean? And we have more authority than we know that we have when the Holy Spirit is moving in a situation. Let me while we're there, let me read you another thing. In that same portion, we could read that whole chapter, it'd be great. But verse 23, I'm gonna read this to you. I have sworn by myself, the word has gone out of my mouth in righteousness and shall not return. Listen to this, that unto me every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall swear. Surely shall one say, in the Lord I have righteousness and strength, even to him shall men come, and all that are increased against him shall be ashamed. In the Lord all the seed of Israel shall be justified and shall glory. Now, when God talks about Israel, a lot of people would say, well, he was talking about natural Israel. And when there's a prophetic word that goes forth like this, who is Israel? Go up and look in the ninth chapter of Romans. See what it says up there. They are not all Israel which are Israel.
Right.
But in Isaac shall your seed be called. He was the son of promise. The promise is that he was going to take a people out of the Gentiles for his name. And you guess what? We're that people, you know. And not only that, but the name Israel literally has the meaning of, if you go out and really check it out, it has the meaning of he shall rule as God. And anybody that functions in the area that you know he rules as God, guess who you are? You're Israel, you know. And, you know, everybody, you know, all of Israel, natural Israel, shall be saved. But they'll be saved when they say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.
Yeah.
And you know what? The Gentiles have to start coming in the name of the Lord, you know. And I'll be honest with you, I think sometimes all that stuff over in the Middle East and all that garbage that's going on over there all the time, I believe there's going to come a time when Christian folks who know the Lord, and I'm just saying people who really know the Lord, as the anointing of the Holy Spirit comes upon them or out of them, they're going to start rebuking all of that fighting and all that war and all that other stuff over there. And that's when I believe that things will begin to turn around over there. You can send as many politicians over there as you want. They're never going to end that. Mm-hmm. It's going to take a move of the Holy Spirit, a move of God. It's going to take a people rising up with the authority of Christ and proclaiming peace over there. You know, that's the only way that'll ever come to a place of peace.
I think it's going to come about by calling those things that aren't as though they are and rising up in faith, mm-hmm. speaking it. Well, and as they speak it, it shall happen.
Well, see, that's the thing, calling those things that are not. In the natural, they aren't. Mm-hmm. But when the Holy Spirit has you speak,
mm-hmm. that's it.
It comes into mm-hmm. being, because that word, that creative word goes forth and causes it to happen, you know.
Can I read those three verses out of this one?
Sure.
It's the 23rd verse. It says, I have sworn by myself, and I will never go back on my word, for it is true, that every knee in all the world shall bow to me, and every tongue shall swear allegiance to my name. Mm-hmm. In Jehovah is all the righteousness and strength, the people shall declare, and all who were angry with him shall come to him and be ashamed. In Jehovah all the generations of Israel shall be justified, triumphant.
I love that, triumphant.
All the what of Israel? I miss it.
Oh.
All in.
It said all the generations.
Okay. Yes, so in the King James, this is all the seed
yeah.
of Israel.
Yeah.
I like that too.
Well, see, if you take the generations, let's talk about generations for a minute. We know that in Matthew, he gives the genealogy of Jesus Christ mm-hmm. in the first chapter there. He begins to give the genealogies. And they go ahead and they talk about that from such and such a one to such and such a one was 14 generations.
Mm-hmm.
So from such and such a one to such and such another one mm-hmm. was 14 generations. And from such a one to Jesus Christ was 14 generations. You count that up, that's 42. So 14 times 14, 14, 3 times 14 is 42, mm-hmm. okay? Count them, and there's only 41.
Right.
In the Old Testament, it says, and he was cut off without seed, and there shall be a generation accounted unto him as a seed.
Hello.
Hello, generation.
Amen.
Hello.
That's right.
That's who you are. You're his seed.
You look like you're busting.
Well, I mean, I knew where he was going, because I tell you what,
yeah.
I've heard that so many years. I tell you what, help me here. It was either from, you know who I've loved all the years. It was either Ray Prenzing or it was Bill Britton. It was one of them or both of them.
The first one to ever bring that message was Bill Britton.
Oh, man, I mean, I'm sitting there going like, oh, my.
Yeah.
Yes. And I'm going like this. I said,
yeah.
You know, and Brother Eddie's just up there smiling ear to ear.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I mean, basically them two
yeah.
that I knew, them two that I knew, he just turned it over to them.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was like, I mean, of course, I don't. Did you ever get to hear Ray Prince? He was out of Washington, right?
I don't think so.
I want to say
Missouri
Seattle
or someplace like that. I'm not. He was. I've probably still got a few of his papers. My mother got his papers, and I've got a couple of his books. My mother got them. I signed up for his stuff 3 times.
Never did.
Never got a one of them.
It was his wife Dora. Ray and Dora.
Ray and Doris?
Ray and Doris.
Doris was her
Doris.
Name.
Doris was her name, yeah. Doris. Yeah.
Oh,
Doris.
I think I knew her. He died before her.
She didn't really come to church.
No.
Doris didn't. Ray came, I think, twice.
Right.
I think he came twice. And I don't know how he knew Brother Eddie. I'm not sure. I want to almost say that maybe they went to the same Bible college. I'm not sure.
Asbury, yeah.
Asbury. I'm not positive about that. But anyway, Brother Eddie knew Ray. And actually, somebody that knew him really well was Jeff. Because Jeff used to travel around. And I guess before he got married to Jewel, he kind of, he traveled around different places, and Jeff stayed with them for a while. He actually stayed with Ray Prinzing for a while. Mm. So he knew Ray really well, you know, and Doris, you know. That's the story I heard anyway. We'd have to confirm that with Jeff, but if he remembers.
Hey, Kathy, Bill Britton would come, go to Brother Eddie's house, and said, let's go. And he said, well, where are we going? He said, we're going golfing.
Yeah,
he was golfing. No lie. I mean, dude, no lie. You know Brother Eddie didn't golf. Well, anyway, he goes like this. All you got to do is ride in the car. He goes like, you know, because they go ride in the car and they talk about the Lord.
Yeah. My favorite of all of the people who ever came here, I mean, a lot of people would think it would be Preston Eby, but it wasn't. My favorite of all the people who came here was Bill Britton. Because when I sat and listened to him, I could have just sat there all night and listened to him, you know. And, I mean, he just spoke to me. You know what I mean? It just sunk right in when he was so good at opening up the vision of sonship, you know, and just tremendous, you know. I mean, you know, but I remember I when he died, I was a little bit upset when he died. You know what I mean? I thought, oh God, you know, Bro Bill died, you know, which I didn't have any real fellowship with him or anything. Mm-hmm. It's just I fellowshiped with his word that God gave him. And when he died, Bob Wright was here, happened to be here right after that. And I was talking to Bob because Bob taught at his school out there, you know, at School of the Overcomers they had. And Bob Wright taught out there. And I asked Bob, I said to him, you know, I said, that really bothered me when Bill Britton died. He said, you know, Oscar, he says, I guess he had talked to some of the people out there, you know, because he knew them pretty well. And he said, some of the brothers went into the hospital when he was in the hospital, you know, and they told Brother Bill, you know, what are we going to do when you die, you know, because he had that word, you know. And he said, God will raise up 10 more just like me.
Yeah. That, and really, that's
that
the word
because,
he had.
You know what? He realized it wasn't about him, you know what I mean? It was about God. And buddy, there's a lot of them guys, and I hate to say this, but there's a lot of them guys that get puffed up sometimes. Mm-hmm. And I love one of the brothers that came here. I thought his word was tremendous. And he actually had been involved through Bill Britton's son, you know, Kelly Vonner, you know. But he was a little full of himself. I won't say a word go on there.
Well, you know what? This is no lie. The word of the Lord doesn't depend on us.
No.
We're supposed to depend on the word of the Lord.
All it depends on is us being obedient to that word that he gives us, you know. And it's his word. It's not yours. It's not mine. It's his word, you know. And when we realize that, we can't get real puffed up in the thing, you know.
It's not us anyway, it's all grace.
Yeah. Well, it's that Christ in us that causes us to even hear his word or mm-hmm. even understand his mm-hmm. word. It witnesses to us but you know, if this 45th chapter of Isaiah is a great chapter, and it's a great chapter to study. And this was during the time of Cyrus, you know, when Isaiah wrote this. And he wrote it, actually he wrote it hundreds of years before what was prophesied about here happened, you know, some of it. And I love this here now. And a lot of people say, well, you know, you have to be anointed for God to use you. You have to be this, you have to be that. You know, a lot of people will tell you that kind of stuff. Well, listen to this. This is in chapter 44 of Isaiah. And I love this. And this is verse 27. Well, let me go up a little bit higher than this. Let me go up to about 28. 26. That confirms the word of the servant and performed the counsel of a messenger that said to Jerusalem, thou shalt be inhabited, and to the cities of Judah you shall be built, and I will raise up the decayed places thereof. That saith to the deep, be dry, and I will dry up the rivers. That saith to Cyrus, okay, he is my shepherd. He's talking about Cyrus. And shall perform all my pleasures. Even saying to Jerusalem, thou shalt be built, and to the temple, thy foundations shall be laid. Now listen to 45. Thus saith the Lord unto his anointed Cyrus, whose right hand I have holden to subdue the nations before him. I will loose the loins of kings to open before the two-leaved gates that shall not be shut. And I will go before and make the crooked places straight, and I will build in the pieces of the gates of brass and cut asunder the bars of iron. And I will give thee the treasures of darkness and the hidden riches of secret places, that thou mayest know that I, the Lord, which called thee by name, am God. And for Jacob my servant's sake, Israel my elect, I even called thee by thy name. I have surnamed me, now listen to this, though thou hast not known me.
Amen. That has not known me?
That thou that even radiates, though you haven't known me, I'm going to use you.
Yeah.
And you're going to be my anointed, and I'm going to do some big things through you. And you know, he allowed the children of Israel to go back and start rebuilding the the walls and all that stuff. It was Cyrus who did that, you know. But all of this prophecy that went on, some of the things that were prophesied concerning Isaiah, it happened. He prophesied this before Cyrus was ever born. God had given him that insight to use his name even before he was even born, you know. Pretty amazing.
We can identify with that.
God's so in control, folks. He, you know, we a lot of times, in our prayers, we need to ask, we need to seek, and we need to knock. And when we do it, we need to do it expecting to receive an answer. And the only time you want, and a lot of times, I've heard Lonnie say there were times about answers, but I can tell you, God always answers. He either says yes, no, or not now.
We don't listen to no. Anyway.
We don't like not now.
We don't like, you're right, that's true. We don't wait for that.
Well, not now is not fun because we want to know right now, and we're not always in a position to receive right now.
I've never seen this say it like this. And of course, I'm going to like the seventh verse in the seventh chapter. Uh-huh. Ask and you will be given what you ask for. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open. For everyone who asks receives it. Everyone who seeks finds. This is what I've never seen before. If only you will knock, the door will open. Isn't that saying it like, it's that easy. Mm-hmm. I love how Oscar says that, I'm going to teach you something. And he went three times and before the Lord, right?
Yeah.
And I'm going to teach you something. Well, what is it? And he said, I'm going to teach you the simplicity
in Christ.
In Christ. And I think right here is like, he's saying, if only you will knock. That's how simple it is.
Yeah. Well, see, there again, if you take what it says in the Amplified, it says knock, and keep on knocking.
Yeah.
and every time I read that in the Amplified Bible, I see Sheldon on the Big Bang Theory going next door to Penny's house.
And this one says
outside the door and this keep one knocking says, and knocking and knocking. Penny, until she finally comes to the door.
This one says, and to the one who knocks, the door will be open.
Uh-huh. The one.
I love that. I think that's telling the rest of us,
right,
you don't knock, it ain't going to be open to you.
Yeah. Right.
And you, yeah. The same thing with seeking. If you don't seek, it ain't going to happen. And if you don't ask,
right.
I mean, when do you think, and we're probably in this age, I don't know what age we're in, but I'm thinking, we're probably in the age where God's not going to let somebody that's not seeking come to us and ask. Because
yeah.
God wants them to seek him. I'll give you an example of that. My mother always ran interference. I hate to say it like that, but she prayed for her brothers and sisters all the time. And they'd always call her to pray. And one day I asked, you know, I'm a selfish kid. I said, God, why did you take my mom instead of hers? He said, well, because your mom was ready. She ain't. But you know what? And here's what he told me. He said, now she's going to find out how to seek me.
And you know what? What does the word say about seeking? In the day that you do what?
Seek me with your whole heart.
With all your heart,
yep.
You'll find me. And I tell you what, if we're honest at times, we don't seek him with all of our heart in situations. We want a quick right now answer, and sometimes we don't get that quick right now answer. You know what I mean? We have to keep seeking until he decides we're at a position he can actually tell us what. You know, you ever see a little kid ask a question? You know, if a little kid was to ask you and say, you know, grandpa or grandma or whatever, where do babies come from? You know, are you going to give them the medical definition of where babies really come from? A lot of times you're going to say, well, they come from heaven. You know, God sends them down here. You know, and you know what? They'll say, oh, okay. That's good enough, you know, or they came out of mommy's belly or something like that. That's good enough. But that's not the full definition of where they came from. You know what I mean? And that's the way the Lord does us at times. He gives us what we need to know when we need to know it. And not necessarily everything that there is about that whole situation. That's why I was talking to Richard, you know, when he was here, and I talked to him on the phone because he called me to find out some of the stuff about here. He said he called you, Mike. He had called me first,
yeah.
And I had my phone turned down,
yeah.
I think, and I didn't
yeah.
get him. So when I talked to him, we were talking, and he basically said, you know, he said, Oscar, he says, I've come to realize that I know almost nothing. I said, you know what, Rich? I said, that's why
good.
I've always said I would gladly trade what I know for what I don't know in the Lord. I said, not really, because those are building blocks to get you to the point where you can understand deeper truths, you know, deeper things in the Lord. But really what we actually know, we know very little. And the treasures of wisdom and the treasures of the understanding of what God's total purposes are, he's going to unfold that generations, who knows how long it'll be, you know. And I don't know if we'll ever quit learning about the Lord, you know, as we come to what would be a place of maturity, you know.
Well, don't you think that's going to come step by step?
I believe.
Here a little, there a little.
Yeah.
I mean, why would he give us the whole thing when he knows that we're not prepared for the whole thing?
Well, you couldn't.
I mean, we could
that.
Not comprehend it. We'd confuse it, even explain it.
You just tell some, and this is the truth, you just tell some people just a little bit of a deeper truth that God has revealed to you, and they're like, whoa, you're way out in left field. You know what I mean? Because the traditions of the elders have made people to the position that they don't have ears to hear. And that was going back to that casting your pearls before swine, you know. And that's kind of a bad thing to say, that, you know, you call somebody swine, but they can't help where they're at this point, because God has allowed them to not be able to see at this point. You know, I love what J.B. Phillips says in Romans 8 chapter. He says that he has, and I'm going to put it in my own words, but he kind of says he has limited creation, you know, because they can't have yet see reality, not because they choose to be blind, but because he has so limited them.
Right.
Well, he's done the limitations. He has to be the one to take the limitations off.
To God, Or would we not be just like those people who come, if we give them just a little bit, they'll go, oh!
Yeah.
I think the day will come when, if God reveals even a slight bit more, we're going to go, it'll
save us. Well, I think that's why it's important to get with the body. I don't care what anybody says.
Yeah.
So everybody ought to be with the body of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you're in the body of Christ, you know, I've been needing this, and God's used you today. Because it's the day when they come, today, to receive a word that has done something for me. You know, people get stirred up. I used to talk to Hank and Sandy all the time.
Right.
And Hank would go, where do you get this? I said, last Sunday at church.
Yeah.
Mm.
I mean, I've become a lot more aggressive since then. Yeah. I tell people, I go like this. I said, God won't answer your prayer. I'm just flat out, I'm telling them the truth. And what do you mean? I said, because you're in a state of disobedience.
You know, when I was teaching Sunday school back years ago, you told me different times, you said people, you'd be telling somebody something and they'd say, well, where did that come from? And you'd say, well, or they'd be telling you a problem they had,
right,
or something like that, and then you'd say, well, we just discussed that last week in Sunday school.
Oh, yeah.
You should have been there.
Well, that's the truth.
And it's sort of like you say, they don't avail themselves of what God actually has for them, you know. It's like saying, you know, I got some sliced turkey in the other room, but you keep standing out here in this room and saying, well, I'm not going in that other room. Well, if you don't go in the other room, guess what?
Not gonna get
it. It ain't gonna get up and walk in here to you. And you know what I mean.
Well, I mean, what? You guys tell me if I'm off. Don't people set themselves up for not hearing something when God's gonna use somebody that they don't wanna listen to?
Well, look, just reading the seventh verse here puts me in the mindset that most people, when they pray for something, they hope to hear something. They don't expect to hear an answer.
Right.
They don't expect to hear an answer. They hope that they hear an answer. Now, it's just like you said before. It might be yes, no, or not now.
Right.
But they don't even expect that. They expect, they hope that, well, maybe God will answer this for me. You know? And I think that is because we live in a world today where people don't avail themselves to God on a daily basis. They do it on a once a week basis, or
once a month,
once
or
a month basis,
yeah, right,
or once every 6 month basis, or every holiday basis.
I'll tell you what. I won't tell you who. I'll just tell you what. My Uncle Paul come up to me one day, and he started talking to me. He said, "Clyde, I don't know how to say this to you." I said, "Go ahead and say it." He goes like this. I had somebody come up to me as an elder and say, hey, why ain't you guys fixing my roof? There's no lie. And so Paul said, well, have you told us? Well, no. He goes, you do know we're just human, right? If it's your roof and you don't say something to us, how do we know that it needs fixing? But that's the kind of attitude, or I'm going to say even an altitude, which is below us, that thinks that we know God that well. I've had people come up and say like this, how come you didn't discern that? And I just said, discern what? The abuse going on in my home. I said, wait a minute, hold on. Wait a minute, I heard something there.
Yeah.
Whose home? And I go like this. I said, you putting us up on a pedestal. You shouldn't do that. I said, what you should do is get down on your hands and knees and allow God's Holy Spirit to discern in you what's going on in your own household,
right,
so you can tell it to get out in the name of Jesus, have the blood of Jesus come curling into the house,
right,
and see if it don't shake it loose. I said,
right,
we know nothing about, we had, I can't remember her name, Brother Eddie had me go out and minister quite a bit. She passed away. She used to come with her daughter or stuff like that. Well, anyway, she called us up. She said, bring Gary with you. Went out there, it's just her and Gary and me. She said, no, my daughter lives here, my son-in-law lives here, and my grandson. She said, I want you to go in the grandson's room. It's not. He said, go in there, prayed up, filled up. He He said, and I want you to anoint everything in the name of Jesus, the Holy Ghost. She said, touch the bed, touch the door frames, touch the bookcases, everything. She wanted the whole room anointed because she thought her grandson had an evil spirit in there. She said, there's nothing in there until he goes in. They couldn't have made a movie out of that. I mean, think of that. That's how people think. And I go like this. I said, well, if you know Jesus Christ, we can go to the throne of God because of that. We can go right there. We can bring it right into the room. But you know what? I do love when the Bible says where two or more are gathered in my name. I think that's the evidence that he's recognizing that you're believing, what you just said, that you're believing that he's going to do something. I actually think a lot of people don't come or around or whatever because they don't think God's going to do anything. They don't realize he's waiting on them.
You know, Clive, what you were saying, I had a person ask me to come to their house, and they felt like that there was evil spirit in their house, you know, evil spirit in their house, and would I come over and pray in their house? And they used to come to church here, and they're not coming now, you know, they haven't been for a while. anyway, so I went over there, and I prayed in their house. And, you know, then I didn't, you know, that they came to church sporadically here and there, you know. And then I was talking to them one day, and I told them that we were going to have a minister come in who had a pretty strong prophetic word. Oh, yeah, I'll come to that, they said. And they was telling me, they said, well, you know, we go see like a fortune teller.
Oh my gosh.
And I said, and these particular people used to go around and go to houses that were supposed to be haunted and stuff. And when I say that, you'll probably know who I'm talking about, but I'm not gonna mention a name. But anyway, I told him, I said, let me tell you something. I said, when you're having problems in your house and you're going to places like that, you're inviting that kind of spirit to come into your house. And I told her, I shouldn't have said that. I told the person, I said, you know, don't you remember what happened with Paul when he was walking along the road and this lady who had the spirit of divination was following him? And she was prophesying and said, oh, these men are servants of the Most High God and all this kind of stuff. And what she was saying was true. You know, it was true. And I said, don't you remember what happened? I said, didn't Paul turn around and rebuke the spirit that was in her?
Yeah.
And the guy wanted to have Paul stoned to death because he had lost his way of making money.
Yeah, she was making money.
And I said, and don't you remember what happened with Saul when Samuel had died and he went to a person with a spirit of divination, and he said he had them bring Samuel up in the spirit. Now, I mean, and you know, this stuff is more powerful than people think, and he had them bring him up in the spirit. And you know what Samuel said to him, to Saul, what is this you have done? Mm-hmm. What is this you have done? And buddy, he was in big time trouble after that, for sure. And you know, that stuff is for real, but the Spirit of God is greater than any of that. Mm-hmm. And there's nothing that can withstand the Spirit of God. Now, you know, if you remember with the I think it was the sons of Sceva or somebody like that in the book of Acts, I don't remember the exact quote, but where they they tried to rebuke some things in the name of Jesus, you know, and that spirit jumped on them and literally was beating them up, you know what I mean? And I mean, you know, people just don't get it. I mean, you can't go out to all these fortune tellers or all these other people, you know, and not expect to be opening a door there that in your life don't need to be open. Because if God's got a word for you, He'll send somebody with that word, or He'll give you that word directly, or He'll get it to you the way it's supposed to come. You don't go out and go to some fortune teller or something like that, you know.
People just think that stuff is a big game.
Yeah, they do. Well, they do. And yes. And when I said something to this particular person, I told them, I said, oh, man, you don't want to do that. Mm-hmm. You don't want to do that.
They're dealing with witchcraft.
Absolutely. And I'm going to tell you what, they still have all kinds of problems and stuff like that. And you know, they're very unstable in what they do.
I'll tell you what.
And it isn't that God doesn't have a call on this person's life, because He does. Mm-hmm. Because the Lord gave me a prophetic word for him one time, mm-hmm. that he has a call on their life. But they're too busy out doing other things, you know, to answer that call. You know?
We've read a lot of books, I'm sure you guys have too, of Watchman Nee.
Yeah.
Well, Watchman Nee tells a story, and I can't stand Nee. I don't know what it is. Anyway, he said that his wife died, and he was gone. He came back home, and they said, oh, your wife's died. And I might be paraphrasing this. I know I am. And he goes, what? And he went in. He took her body, stood it up against the wall, and rebuked the spirit of death within her. She fell down. He went over and did it again. I think he did it 3 times. Then he finally proclaimed the name of Jesus within her, and she was with him for a few more years. I mean, so many people, because they, I hate to say it like it, but because they think that death is the last there is. Well, I'll tell you what, we was just here yesterday, and I heard somebody get up and say, you know, well, she died. Whosoever, and quoted that, whosoever believeth in me, though they be dead, yet they're alive. Mm-hmm. Just went from one realm to another. Mm-hmm. Now, I'll tell you what, I don't think any of us have eyes, natural eyes, to see that. But He's not calling for the natural eyes to see it. No. He's calling for the spirit of life that lives within you to believe it. Mm-hmm. And if you believe it, somebody said yesterday, then you'll receive it.
Sure. Well, see, that's why I love what the Phillips Bible says. In Romans, the 8th chapter, and in the epistles of John, the 3rd chapter, first epistle of John, the 3rd chapter. If reality was to grow forth,
that's beautiful.
We're not, I got news for you. We're not living in reality. We might think we are, but we're not in the realm of reality here. We're in a temporal realm, temporary realm. And the eternal realm is another realm. It's not this realm here. And that's like a lot of, I hate to say this, but a lot of people think that, like, you know, it's like Jesus when he rose Lazarus from the dead. Now, he rose Lazarus from the dead in this natural realm. Because if he had rose him from the dead in the spiritual realm, he'd still be here.
Yeah, that's right.
He'd still be here.
Well, that's right.
But it was in the natural realm that he raised him from the dead, and when he went and prayed for the mother or somebody or somebody, I
was
can't
it the remember. Daughter?
Daughter, yeah, it was a daughter. Yeah. It was a daughter. That was in the natural realm. I got news for you. Jesus, when he arose, his body was not the body that went into that tomb. There was a transformation into a spiritual body where he walked through walls, he walked through all kinds of stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, like it says, like I read yesterday, we don't want to be unclothed. We want to be clothed upon.
Right.
With our, it said house from above, but it's literally talking about our dwelling place in God, mm-hmm. that's from above. And I'm going to tell you what, that's when this mortal life, mm-hmm. will be swallowed up of immortality, mm-hmm. you know. It won't be the same, And, you know, it's like when those, when, who was it, Ezekiel, I guess it was, when they, the Spirit of the Lord spoke to him and said, can these bones live? Mm-hmm.
37th chapter.
What'd he say? He was smart enough, and you got to be smart enough sometimes in God to say the right thing.
Oh, you got to admit that.
He said, you know. In other words, well, you know what he was saying?
Nobody else knows.
I don't know. You know. Only you know. And he heard that rattling and so on and so forth. And those bones came together and they lived, you know. That was a spiritual thing, you know. But, you know, we know so little sometimes. I mean, we really do. We know so little. And sometimes we hold on to this natural life too much. We need to let go of this thing.
Yes.
And not worry about this thing.
Yes.
But know that the hidden man of the heart, the spiritual man that's inside of us, that's the real life. Mm-hmm. This thing is just a tent, and it's a tent that's wearing out, you know, getting older and getting wrinkler and getting where it don't walk too good and everything else. You know. But there's an inner man that's natural things don't affect
it.
Don't affect it at all. You know what I mean?
I think we better go.
Yeah.
Oscar.
Sure. Father, we just thank you for your words. They are truly spirit and life. We ask you, Father, to just have your way in the service here today. And Father, as even as this word has went out and goes out over the internet, I ask you to just anoint the ears that hear it and to speak to the even the questions that they've had in their life about certain things.
Mm.
Let your spirit answer them, Father. And let the meditation of our heart and the words of our mouth be that which pleases you.
Yes.
We give you all praise and glory, and I ask you to pour yourself through Brother Mike today. Let the anointing rest upon him as he speaks. And I ask you to just have your way, and we give you all praise and glory. In Jesus'
Amen.
Name we pray.
Amen.
Amen.